This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hi, we're at MDC, and we are talking to Chris Hardy, who works with Xamarin on some interesting things. We've got MonoTouch, we've got MonoDroid. Can you tell us about that? What do you do?
Yeah, so mainly my kind of job is to use the MonoTouch and Mono for Android tools and kind of build apps and kind of take customer feedback in terms of what they like about it, what they don't like about it, and kind of help out however way I can. So it's a way of, you know, building iOS and Android apps using C# and using the Mono framework. So yeah, it's good fun.
So the idea there is, I mean, I've heard different theories on, you know, how you develop cross-platform on mobile. And I hear in general more like using Mono as kind of your back end and then different front end technologies. I mean, is it, say I write an app in, you know, MonoTouch and I want to put it on Android, what's involved there?
Yeah, so for the most part, you're going to have a native UI. So if you're building an Android app, you need to have it work and function as an Android app and not as something that kind of works on all the devices, but it's not really any of the specific kind of applications. So you've got to make sure that your backend code is separated away from your UI code. So don't be kind of calling alert views or stuff in UI from your kind of backend class library-ish code. So as long as you've got that separated out, you would have to redo your UI within iOS or Android, or if you want to go Windows Phone as well. And that way you get native experiences on all the different platforms, but you get a lot of code reuse, and also you get the familiarity of using C#.
So when I'm developing, say, in MonoTouch, how is my user interface development? Is that completely separate, or how do the two fit together?
So you can do it two ways. MonoTouch uses Xcode and interface builder within side of Xcode. So if you're just doing normal Objective-C iOS stuff, you would use Xcode interface builder the same way. Alternatively, a lot of people don't like to do it that way, even Objective-C guys. So they just stick with doing your UI in code, but it's still UI-specific code.
Okay. And then kind of related, you were telling me about paint code recently, and that makes it easier to do that, to develop your UI?
Yeah, so paint code is kind of like paint shop that generates code. So in code, you can use something like Core Graphics to draw icons or any of your kind of UI that you want to do. So paint code was originally released just for iOS and Objective-C, and then their new release has support for generating MonoTouch and C# code. So you can design an icon within there, but also have kind of, you added like a text icon or like a text view, and then that way you can then programmatically change that because it just generates code, and you just change that kind of label or something dynamically in your code. So yeah, it's an interesting product. You have to probably see it to believe it, I suppose.
Right. It's funny because you've got it going on your laptop, and it was kind of running through the attract sequence as we were talking here, and it's pretty interesting. So it's drawing on the screen and then generating drawing code below it, the drawing commands.
That's correct.
And this is not a Xamarin product. This is something, but they've added support for exporting.
That's correct.
Code you can use.
Yeah. Okay. So it's an interesting product. And it definitely, if you're a designer, it's easy to go through there, and you can send the code over to your developers, and you don't have to deal with Xcode and try and have images all the time to do that, which are always static, and then you might need a bunch of images to have dynamic looks. So it's a nice way, nice alternative.
So, and what does it look like when I want to transition from a native app into Logic that I've written in C#?
If you've got your Logic, then most of the time you can just reuse that straight away. So you don't need to, if your Logic is to calculate the amount of the bill that you need to pay, that Logic you can just reuse straight across because it's a C# code and, and it's all running under the Mono runtime.
Mm-hmm.
But then you need to, if you're going to go on iOS or Android, you need to start learning about the iOS APIs and the Android APIs and kind of know about the platforms that you're going to be targeting. Otherwise, you're going to have something that is, you know, might as well just put it in a web view and be done with it. But you can do, you know, native stuff on there, like either run a background service on Android, which you can't really do in iOS, or use the notifications of the system and stuff like that.
Right. But is there some sort of reverse p-invoke to go from like the native iOS code right into my managed code?
So there's Objective-C bindings. So if you, all the bindings are done either in the C or Objective-C bindings. So if you do need to touch iOS, then you go through there. With Android, you go through JNI, so Java Native Interface bindings. So you have those at your disposal, but you also have MS Corelib, system, system.core, system.xml for running stuff just on the mono side as well. So it depends on what you try to do, but for the most part, you have both there at your disposal. So gives you a good arsenal to kind of develop your app with.
So one of the things I first played with Android development way before Mono for Android was around, and it was interesting, but one of the things that I ran into was the installation was difficult, right? I needed ADB and I needed to put all this stuff together. And so how has that changed now? If I install Mono for Android, do I still need to install a bunch of other stuff, or how does it all work together?
So you still need to install a bunch of stuff, but what Xamarin have done, they created a kind of all-in-one installer. So what it would do is it run your machine, it would go through and check, see if you've got a JDK installed, the Android SDK, Mono develop the Mono for Android SDK, and it'll basically download and install that all for you in kind of one simple process. So you just don't have to think about it. And it'll also install, you know, default packages that you have to manually do if you do it Java way. So you can, you have a new machine, you run the installer, then you launch Mono develop, you go run, and then that's it. You kind of started doing Android development. Or if you want, you can also use Visual Studio as well.
And then UI development on Android. I know there's kind of like an XML-based interface thing. Is there any support in the Mono develop or anything as far as UI building?
Yeah. So as of Mono for Android 4.2, there's a Xamarin designer for Android. So this uses the underlying Eclipse way of creating a design file. And this basically allows you to develop develop Android stuff with a designer, which generates a layout file underneath. But it's basically built in to Mono develop and Visual Studio.
Nice. Okay.
And what are some interesting things that people have built with this?
So one of the, for Mono for Android, there's an RDO client. So RDO is like Spotify, but in America, and they just come over to the UK. So they built their Mono for Android application with that. Some of the interesting stuff for iOS is, there's tons of stuff. There's a whole list at Xamarin.com. One that I don't quite understand myself, but people seem to really like, is iCircuit. So it's you can create circuits on the iPad, and you can have different graphs showing you different voltage going through your circuit. But it just completely goes way over my head, but people seem to really like it because they say, you know, you used to have to pay hundreds of pounds for something similar, and now you can just download it for a couple of dollars on your iPad. So that seems to blow people away.
What do you run into as far as, you know, so somebody does build something that goes across multiple platforms, and obviously we talked about the UI being different generally, but do you have different, I mean, you've got different support at the core, like you were talking about, background, you know, and different things. How does that work in my development day-to-day work? Do I get an exception? I mean, do I get some kind of build notification, or how do I know when I'm doing something that's only going to work in one place? And if I do get that, how do I make my code handle those different service abilities?
So there's not really anything that kind of warns you of that. I guess you need to be aware that the code that you need to do needs to be, again, away from the UI. Otherwise, when you come to, so you have a Monotouch and Mono for Android class library. So you add your code into the class library, and if there's anything that doesn't match the profile, that'd be on Monotouch or Mono for Android, it would, you know, get a build error that namespace doesn't exist or something like that. So there's not a really easy way of being aware of that. So you need to just be careful, really. But you can also do things such as linking files across different, so if you have a Monotouch class library and Mono for Android class library and a Windows Phone 7 class library, you can link to the same file across all three libraries. So if you change one file in one class library, it'll go and change it for the others. So that's a nice way of being able to share one file against three different class libraries. But then you've got to maintain that kind of project structure. So if you adding a new file in your Windows Phone 7 class library, you need to go and manually add it to the others. There's a project called Project Linker, which was originally built for doing WCF and Silverlight and sharing code between those two projects.
WPF and Silverlight.
WPF, yes, not WCF.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that was kind of to share code between those projects, but that only really works with Visual Studio, so the modern developer doesn't have that support.
Mm-hmm.
There's interesting things coming out, such as the portable library tools.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of your build once run anywhere DLL, which is an interesting concept. But the problems with that is limited as well. So you might have system.net.webclient and you have download string async is the only method you can use. So if you use download file or download string,
mm-hmm.
you can't use it within the portable library project. So
lowest common denominator.
Yeah, so it works if you've got a really small library. So I know JSON.net has provided kind of portable library support.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of maybe your code that you have in your business, it might not go across just as easily.
Okay. And when I compile, I mean, just to be clear, I'm writing in C# code, but I'm not generating IL. I'm generating native code for both platforms, right? So this is C. It's generating down. I mean, I know there was a big thing a few years ago with the, you know, you can't JIT on iOS, right?
Yeah.
So this is native code that's being built, and is it the same on Android?
So it's the same kind of mechanism. You actually do create IL code.
Mm.
What this does is then that gets run by the Mono runtime. So the Mono runtime is written in C for the phone, I believe.
Okay.
So then that either calls your Mono code or that Mono code then calls into Objective-C. And then with Android, it's a similar sort of thing. You have the kind of the Mono runtime running. And your IL code that gets compiled either talks to the Mono runtime or it talks to the Davit runtime via Genie. So you kind of get both in Android and then iOS. It goes through Mono into Objective-C.
Okay.
So it doesn't generate Objective-C, but it can either talk to Objective-C to then talk to the Mono runtime or... Yeah, it's kind of a weird mix of everything. So,
it just works.
Yeah, it just works.
Magic happens.
Yeah, that's the kind of the experience you get as a developer. You build your app, it creates a .app file or a .apk for Android,
mm-hmm.
and you can just take that and put it on your devices. So yeah, you don't need to worry about kind of how does this really work, but it's interesting to kind of find out as well.
Okay. You're in a position where you're building on a lot of different platforms. Are there any kind of interesting, you know, things you really like about one platform or really hate about another? I mean, how do you compare them? How do you think about them?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I have, you know, Windows Phone, an Android Phone, an iOS Phone. I have an iPad. And I have an Android tablet. I have a lot of different devices. I don't have a Windows 8 tablet, so I would like one of those just to kind of play around with.
Here you go.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. No, he didn't give me one.
It's a lie.
So really, I think all kind of the different devices have something that will interest most people. And so for me, I use my iOS iPhone all the time. So I'm used to that kind of way of thinking. I think the most interesting thing at the moment is Windows 8. Purely for the fact that it's a kind of quiet marketplace and it gets seen by a lot of people. So I did write a little app which counts down the days until Christmas, and that got over 30,000 downloads with no website, no promotion. It got promoted by Microsoft eventually.
This is Windows Phone.
So this is Windows Phone 7, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So for me, it would just be interesting to put it on Windows 8 and kind of port it over as such, just so I can see... You know, people are interested in telling how many days there are until Christmas, even though they probably have a calendar on that.
Where's the fun in that?
Yeah. So I think that's an interesting place in terms of, you know, there's a lot of kind of people going to be having Windows 8 and probably not so many like a watered down marketplace. It's going to be quite rich with apps. So that's an interesting place to be as a developer.
What's your thought? You mentioned the store and, you know, the crowding, how crowded a store is definitely interesting or, you know, important to developers, but also what's your thoughts on the, publishing process? Like I know, Android is basically, it's just mm-hmm. throw it out there, right?
Yeah. I haven't actually deployed anything on Android because it kind of doesn't seem like there's anything there. It's like up the apps available. That's it. And I think that has, you know, inevitable downsides because you have the problem with people putting stuff up that they shouldn't, like viruses and things that can delete stuff on your phone. I think the Windows Phone and the Windows Marketplace has always been interesting for me, trying to get my app in there. It's had a lot of teething problems from when I used it, and I think that's getting better, but people still have problems with it. Same thing for iOS. I think whenever there's always someone in the way of getting your app in the store, it's always going to have painful points, and there's always going to be an amount of I think I'm right, and then they think they're right, and you kind of lock horns, I guess.
Right.
So in general, I think it's a good thing to have, even though it might annoy developers. I think it's better for the customers at the end of the day. As long as you don't have a critical bug fix. I think that's always the scary part. It's like, I just released something by mistake, someone didn't catch it, and now the app's crashing. So, and yeah. I think Apple will have a process where you can kind of fast track your app if there is a critical bug fix. I think they give you a limited amount of times you could do that. Otherwise, you would say everything's a critical bug
fix. Right, right.
So I think it's good for customers. I think it's annoying for developers, but I think it's well known that stuff could happen. So it shouldn't come as a surprise if your app's rejected for not having a proper icon or something like that.
One thing that would have made sense to talk about earlier, but I forgot about, was what's the debugging story for, like you write an app, are you using an emulator? I've developed on Windows Phone using an emulator, and the emulator on Android, I remember being pretty ugly or whatever.
Yeah, it's slow. Yeah. So with Android, at least Intel have just released the x86 version of their emulator. So it runs really, really nicely, really fast, just like it's on a real device, and it is an emulator rather than a simulator.
Right.
With iOS, you have the problem with, you can JIT code in your iOS simulator, and you put it on device and it doesn't work because it needs to be ahead of time compiled. So there are those issues. Monotouch released a unit test tool, and it's basically just a test runner, and it's an application, so you can run that application on the device and pick up stuff that when it's on device it falls over. You can check those, so you're kind of less surprised when it doesn't work when you're on device, because you have a unit test that fails. Hopefully.
Is there any kind of like real-time debugging that you can do, where you're stepping through code then?
Yeah, so with Monotouch and Mono for Android, you have a debugger. So it's in Monodevelop, you just set breakpoints, or in Visual Studio you just set breakpoints, you hit debug, it waits for the debugger to load up, waits for the app to load up, and then you can just hover over icons and see kind of what the values are and everything you would expect from, a proper IDE.
Okay, and that's debugging in the emulators, or can you actually debug on the device?
Yeah, you can do it on device, yeah. It's either or, it doesn't matter, yeah.
Okay, I'm about out of questions.
I think I am too.
I don't have any questions.
Okay, good, because we don't know anything. All right, well, thank you a bunch, Chris.
All right, thanks.
It's been really interesting talking to you.
Very good.